I love a sunburnt country, a land of sweeping plains, of ragged mountain ranges, of droughts and flooding rains. I love her far horizons, I love her jewel sea, her beauty and her terror, the wide brown land for me. That was a popular stanza excerpted from My Country, one of the best-known works of poetry in Australia by Dorothea McKellar, which perfectly captures the natural beauty and the heart and spirit of Australia. Awe-inspiring, surreal, breathtaking. These are words that are used to describe the Australian land and its coastline. The Great Barrier Reef, located in the Coral Sea off the northeast coastline, is the largest natural feature on Earth, stretching more than 2,300 kilometres. The Australian outback, with its spectacular scenery and primal mythology, has long been revered as one of the most beautiful places on Earth. Heading further inland to Australia's red centre, Eyre's Rock, or Uluru, a giant sandstone monolith, is a spectacular sight which changes colour according to the position of the sun. The massive rock domes date back 500 million years and are rich in indigenous artwork and lore. Australians have a warm, light-hearted and generous nature. Anywhere you go, you'll be greeted with a friendly, "G'day, mate." It's comforting to know that you have 20 million friends who will always be there if needed. And now, please join us on Words of Wisdom today for an insightful lecture entitled Seek You First, the Kingdom of God, delivered by Supreme Master Ching Hai in Sydney, Australia, on March 17, 1993.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centres near you.
Trong thế kỷ thứ 21 này, chúng tôi được đào tạo trong một môi trường khoa học. Chúng tôi chỉ tin qua những bằng chứng, những thí nghiệm cụ thể. Chúng tôi hoàn toàn bác bỏ những hình thức dị đoan mê tín hay tôn sùng cá nhân. Nhưng với sư phụ Thanh Hải và pháp môn mà Ngài truyền dạy, chúng tôi đã gặt hái những kết quả vô cùng kỳ diệu, bất khả tư nghị. Làm sao chúng tôi có thể cắt nghĩa cho được hiện tượng một chiếc xe chạy với vận tốc 100 cây số một giờ, bất thình lình một bánh trước bị nổ, mà chiếc xe vẫn ngừng lại một cách an toàn và những đệ tử ngồi bên trong vẫn không hề hấn gì? Và làm sao chúng tôi cắt nghĩa cho được sự kiện thấy lại hình ảnh của những người thân đã khuất trở về cảm ơn với gương mặt rạng rỡ vui tươi? Những sự việc trên chỉ có thể cắt nghĩa rằng hóa thân của sư phụ ở khắp mọi nơi, từ cõi vô hình cho đến thế giới hữu hình, và sẵn sàng giúp đỡ đến tất cả những ai thành tâm nhớ đến Ngài. Và pháp môn Quán Âm trở thành một phương tiện hữu hiệu để báo ơn tổ tiên ông bà, như chúng ta vẫn thường nói: nhất nhân chứng đắc cửu uyên thăng. Thật ra cũng không có gì khác biệt giữa những người tu tập pháp môn này và những người không tu tập. Chúng tôi cũng biết thưởng thức thế giới này, cũng ham muốn, nhưng giờ đây chúng tôi chuyển những ham muốn ấy trở thành những ham muốn cao thượng hơn. Và chúng tôi cũng không tha thiết lắm với sự tranh luận, bởi vì sự tranh luận cũng bị giới hạn trong ngôn ngữ. Làm sao so sánh cho được với những chứng nghiệm của tâm linh? Những lỗi lầm chúng tôi cũng mắc phải, nhưng chúng tôi may mắn nhận được những lỗi lầm ấy qua những lúc thiền định. Kính thưa quý vị, sự quyến luyến về quê hương khó mà phai lạc trong tâm hồn của chúng ta. Chúng ta hãnh diện về nơi chôn nhau cắt rúng, dù nơi đó là một mảnh đất cằn cỗi, nắng hạn, hay là những cánh đồng bao la bát ngát, màu mỡ, được bồi đắp bằng những con sông dài xinh xắn. Dù chăng đi nữa, những hình ảnh đó cũng là một phần của đời sống chúng ta. Chúng luôn luôn hiện diện trong tâm thức. Trong suốt một kiếp này, rồi đây, qua những lần luân hồi, chúng ta lại có thêm những quê hương mới để mà nhớ nhung. Và cũng bởi vì màn vô minh dày đặc mà chúng ta quên hẳn rằng chúng ta còn có một quê hương đích thực, quê hương mà chúng ta cùng lớn lên, cùng chung kỷ niệm mà chúng ta đã quên, quên hẳn đi trong những ngày ngập lặng trong thế giới ta bà này. Chúng tôi muốn nói đến một quê hương yêu dấu tên gọi là Thiên Quốc, là thiên đường, là thế giới cực lạc, A Di Đà, là Niết Bàn, là nơi mà tiếng khổ cũng không, hà huống chi là chịu khổ. Quê hương này rất xa mà cũng rất gần. Rất xa là bởi vì ngộ nhận mà chúng ta cho rằng không có thực, nó chỉ gợi nhớ qua những chuyện thần tiên cổ tích, để rồi chúng ta mặc nhiên chấp nhận không có một ai có thể đến nơi ấy được trừ Phật và Chúa mà thôi. Và cũng rất gần, ngày hôm nay sư phụ chúng tôi sẽ chỉ dạy cho chúng ta phương cách để trở về quê hương mà mọi người có thể viếng thăm ngay trong kiếp này. Chúng tôi hết sức hân hoan giới thiệu với quý vị sư phụ Thanh Hải, là người mà truyền đạt các pháp môn Quán Âm để giúp cho chúng ta thoát khỏi dòng sinh tử luân hồi.
This is not my wish to be in Australia. So whatever happened, please even forgive me. Even if I speak something that you do not think you agree with, or that you do not think you like it. It's also all the will of God, because I have no desire to come here. I would prefer to sit in a mountain somewhere, or in my room, or next to the river, or do whatever, just be like you, having a very quiet, ordinary life. And because I believe each one has got kingdom already, with nothing for me to do at all in this world. But God's will is always different. He dictates the way I look, what I wear today, tomorrow, where I should go next month, and etc. I have just been reading some books like Ramana Maharshi. Yes, he passed away long ago. Probably many of you know his name through books, and he was a great enlightened person. And he never traveled abroad. I don't blame him. He just stay in his house, and a few people come visited him, or a handful of European and Indian people visited him. And some people ask me, why should the master never go out and teach his way of enlightenment for people, if he's supposed to have compassion at all, or wisdom at all? At that time, I thought, yeah, they're right. If the master is enlightened and compassionate and have love, and then he should come out. But then he never did. He said, what for? What for? If he comes out and people not necessarily believe him, and what can he say? He can't introduce himself as, I'm an enlightened master and I have such and such power and so on and so. If he does, people probably think he's telling a fairy tale. And if he doesn't, how do people understand that he's enlightened? It's very difficult for him to speak of himself, even though he's sure of himself. And mostly when a master or anyone who goes out in the public to try to share something that they sincerely believe in, they mostly meet with opposition, a misunderstanding. That's why people kill Jesus, for example. But nowadays, in this century, it is ordained that no master should be killed anymore. We are in a more civilized age and no longer in the barbarous stage of development. I'm glad that it is so, that it's not necessary to shed blood in order to rescue the so-called sinners. And we should not even demand that in any way, or we should not even think of that way anymore. Because in each century, human beings continue to develop as more and more master grace our earth and brought enlightenment to the minds of the majority of the people who were ready, who forsake the flesh for the spirit, who would like to learn to die so that they will begin to live. Most of the time, when I'm willed by God to go around like this, exposing myself to the public for all kind of comments, I'm not unwilling to go. But sometimes the game is too serious, and most people play too seriously, so it's no fun. Otherwise, I would have enjoy and combine business with pleasure and had a little bit more fun, by the way. But most of us are too serious. We play the game of life and we learn the lesson in our worldly, this so-called drama is too seriously. And many people cannot laugh, yeah, and they dare not cry sometimes for fearing other people take advantage of their emotion. But it is the correct so, because emotion is the thing that we should fear. Because of emotion, we tend to act over-excitedly about some matter that we do not agree, or we think that is not correct, or is not according to our opinion. Because of emotion, some of the world wars has broken out, apart from power struggle, of course, and economical reason. There is emotion in it. Sometimes it starts just between the two or three people or a group, and then we have war. Started from there. And sometimes religious wars also started through or by or from emotion. These are the things sometimes we should take time to consider and ponder whether it is worthwhile. Sometimes some people suggest that we forsake something or sacrifice something in order to attain something else, maybe of greater value, and we probably gone berserk. We didn't like it, and we react very emotionally so. Of course, we have forgotten that we can't worship both the world and God. We couldn't forsake the flesh for the spirit, then we have not begun to live the eternal life. It is difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. What does it mean by rich man? The comfortable life, the easygoing style, the material fulfillment of our daily life. But these things we can all have, It just probably we can minimize so that our life will become more spiritual, more relaxed, so that we become closer to God. Take, for example, the vegetarian diet that I'm always in trouble with. I wish I could give you without, because it costs you more trouble than I'm asking for. It costs trouble everywhere, just because that's a piece of beef. Nothing better than that. Now, for example, that diet, it is scientifically proved that it's good for our health even, and is economically beneficial to the whole world. It's not me who says, it's all these scientifics and researchers who say these things. And you may look at these bookstores and find these informations concerning this yourself, which are plenty in your country, I believe, today. In English language, you can find anything which scientifically approved and tested. Yeah. And also, from many standpoint, if you have been associated with yogis and other practicing the peace of mind, You would of course know before I mention even that they, all of them, or most of them, prefer or know that the vegetarian diet is better, is the best when they meditate, when they want to practice peace of mind. Because the flesh diet is more active.
Some of the diseases related to meat consumption and or production: swine flu, Ebola Reston virus. Cured meats and fish increase leukemia risk in children. Antibiotic-resistant superbug infections from a strain of Staphylococcus aureus. Blue tongue disease, E. coli, Salmonella, bird flu, mad cow disease, or Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, 90% of the population at risk. Pig's disease, or PMWS, listeriosis, shellfish poisoning, pre-eclampsia, Campylobacter, Clostridium difficile, diseases hidden in healthy appearing livestock. Some of the costs of meat eating. Infertility. Eating just one serving of meat per day increases the risk of women's infertility by 32%, with additional meat consumption increasing the risk. Heart disease. Over 17 million lives lost globally each year. Cost of cardiovascular disease is at least $1 trillion US a year. Cancer. Colon rectal cancer. Over 1 million new colon cancer patients diagnosed each year. More than 600,000 colon cancer related mortalities annually. In the United States alone, colon cancer treatment costs about $6.5 billion US. Millions of people are newly diagnosed with other meat related cancers every year. Diabetes. 246 million people are affected worldwide. An estimated $174 billion spent each year on treatment in just the United States. Obesity. Worldwide, 1.6 billion adults are overweight, with 400 million more who are obese. Costs $93 billion each year for medical expenses in the United States alone. At least 2.6 million people die annually from problems related to being overweight or obese. Environmental. Use up to 70% of clean water. Pollute most of the water bodies. Deforest the lungs of the earth. Uses up to 43% of the world's cereal. Uses up to 85% of the world's soy. Cause world hunger and wars. 80% cause of global warming. Plus more.
Some of the costs of milk consumption. Bacterial microbes, pesticides and enzymes found in cheese derived from the inner stomach linings of other animals. Up to 80% of the calories in cheese are from pure fat. Breast, prostate and testicular cancer from hormones present in milk. Listeria and Crohn's disease. Hormones and saturated fat leads to osteoporosis, obesity, diabetes and heart disease. Linked to higher incidences of multiple sclerosis. Classified as a major allergen, lactose intolerance. Plus more.
For more urgent information, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/killers.
There are many food, just like medicine, they have different effect on the body. For example, if we say these don't have any effect at all, then it is unscientific. If nothing affects us through the things we put in our mouth, then if we drink poison, we will not die. Or we take anesthetic, we will not be unconscious for a while, so that the doctor can give us operation and we feel nothing about it. So there are certain things in life materially will affect our state of consciousness as well as our body and also mental. So when we take drug, we are very blurred and sometimes unconscious. We take alcohol, then we're drunk, sometimes we have headache, or we can't walk straight. Yeah, certain kind of things in the material kingdom will affect us more or less, that you know.
Some of the tragic tolls of tobacco. 5.4 million smoking-related deaths per year worldwide. Cost of smoking-related illnesses, $96 billion in the United States alone. Light and mild cigarettes just as harmful. Causes cancer and diseases in animal companions. Speeds the aging process. Toxic residues of third-hand smoke. Heart disease, coronary thrombosis, cerebral thrombosis, kidney failure. Cancer. Lung cancer, esophagus cancer, kidneys cancer, bladder cancer. Chronic obstructive pulmonary disease. Emphysema. Bronchitis. Stroke. Impotence. Additional harms for secondhand smoking. Childhood arteriosclerosis leading to heart attacks and strokes in adulthood. Sudden infant death syndrome. Infertility, miscarriages and premature deliveries. Childhood asthma, bronchitis, ear infection, cleft lip or palate. Hyperactivity and aggression in asthmatic boys. Circulatory problems in women. Plus more.
Some of the tragic tolls of alcohol. 2.3 million alcohol-related deaths per year worldwide. Cost of alcohol-related illnesses. $186.4 billion U.S. dollars in the United States. Up to $210 to $665 billion U.S. dollars globally.
Disease. Higher amounts of alcohol increase the cancer risk. Even half a glass of wine daily increases the risk of mouth or throat cancer by 168%. Cancer of the liver, breast, colon, esophagus, rectum.
Liver disease. Cardiovascular disease. Metal toxicity. Brain damage. Amnesia and dementia. Brain shrinkage.
Organ failure. Heart, liver, kidneys, stomach, pancreas, eyes.
Birth defects, mental retardation, fetal alcohol syndrome, stunted growth, facial deformity, sudden infant death syndrome, miscarriage.
Alcohol-related violence. Child abuse, 50% of cases. Violence toward loved ones, 30% of cases. Violent acts, 40 to 80% of cases. Suicides, 20 to 50% of cases. Plus more.
For more urgent information, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/killers.
Therefore, the food we take also affect us mentally, bodily, also spiritually. And this has been proved since the time immemorial. It's not me who decide who eats what. I'm just offering the way to complete awareness of your own great self, should you willing and like to take it. And we do this with all our own financial resource. We do not expect anything from you at all. I've earned all my money by painting, by interior design, and all my disciples have to work in order so that we can make some contribution for the world, to which we owe a lot of love and nourishment since we are a child. I'm doing you no benefit. I'm just following the will of God, also to contribute something to the world while I am still here. So take it as our goodwill or leave it as your free will. I'm only here because God made me to be here. Otherwise, to me, the world is all right. God runs it. I have no concern. Before, I had illusion about saving the world. That's why I left home and want to get enlightenment, etc., because I saw so much suffering around the world. But after a few years now, I understand it's all God's will. and nothing for me to do at all. But he make me do something. Perhaps if he let me sit idle somewhere in the mountain, it's also no good. I will also be rotten and also die one day, so he make me die on the road, perhaps. So all these things are easily understood when we are in a very calm state of mind and put aside our excitement and prejudice. In the ancient time, if we want to learn this kind of enlightening method, it's not easy. Therefore, most of the people make a myth out of enlightenment that is reserved only for some exclusive people who look like angel and saintly with bare flowing and white robe flowing and walking in the air and things like that. Well, it should be. Maybe judging from my experience around the world, it should be. It's so difficult to convey to the people at large how easy it is, since they have been so used to with struggle and complicated life. But I can assure you again and again, it's very easy. If I can do it, such a small person like me, you can do it probably better. You have more strength. Your brain is bigger than me, judging from size. You're taller, stronger, and you have accomplished more than I have in your life. Your country is more civilized than perhaps my country, or supposed to be my bodily country. Yes. My country is much more civilized than any country on earth. But that I can't prove to you, so I don't talk about it. I can prove to you if you come with me, yes, but I can't prove if you stay here and don't want to follow. I can't show you London unless you come with me, for example, yes. In the old times, most of the masters, they do not go publicly to preach what they know. Because first, for a simple reason, that any master would believe that there's nothing to do for them. They have become accustomed to looking upon all brothers and sisters as God manifestation. And all of them has God inside. Therefore, they feel they have absolutely nothing to do. Lao Tzu, he says the same. You see, there's nothing to do under the sun, under heaven, yes. But then again and again, sometimes people discover them, or it is by the will of God that the people discover them. Then they will be in the spotlight. And then one by one, two by two, and then the so-called master will be forced into the open. But then, at that time, because of the media and the so many inconveniences about politics and the situation prevailing at that time, so not many masters truly are widely known around the world. We didn't have enough communication, we didn't have enough transportation convenience. Therefore, most people, whoever can know these kind of master, look upon them as sacred, as holy, as rare, as respected. Very rare species. Nowadays, if a master do the same thing, then of course only a handful of people know. But then, it's still more than the olden day when there is no communication system available. In the old time, we do not have enough material comfort. Therefore, there's not much to cling to, not much to be attached to, or it's not hard to put down. And today, we have too much of these available to us. It is very good that we have advanced to a greater height of civilization, but it is sometimes, in some occasion, it may be a good hindrance to our spiritual quest. Buddha also say, if you have such a comfortable life, if you're in heaven, it's difficult to practice to become Buddha. Means it's difficult to attain the complete awareness. We may be able to attain part of it, that's what he meant, but not the complete enlightenment. The complete enlightenment, of course, has its price. Our fellow practitioners also have many different degrees. Those who truly dedicate their life for spiritual practice, of course, they forsake everything that is not conducive for their spiritual attainment. Yeah. Some would like to just have a little bit of benefit without sacrificing too much. So we have two types of practitioners. These two types, of course, we give them different guidance according to their wish. So for example, in Singapore, we would give initiation to the people who willingly commit themselves wholeheartedly to the spiritual practice. And the other people also who say, oh Master, we like very much, but we don't know if we can be vegetarian and so yet, so please, can we be 10 days a month or at whenever convenient? I say, yes, of course, as you wish. And so they also want me to teach them some so-called convenient method. So we divide it into two groups. Yes, one is completely vegetarian and the other is not. And then they also can mix together, meditate and use the same center.
Some of the benefits of a vegetarian diet: lowers blood pressure, lowers cholesterol levels, reduces type 2 diabetes, prevents stroke conditions, reverses atherosclerosis, reduces heart disease risk 50%, reduces heart surgery risk 80%, prevents many forms of cancer. Stronger immune system, increases life expectancy up to 15 years. Higher IQ, saves 70% of a total cost of $40 trillion for reducing global warming. Uses 4.5 times less land to grow food. Conserves up to 70% clean water. Saves 80% of the cleared Amazonian rainforest from animal grazing. A solution for world hunger. Free up 3.4 billion hectares of land. Free up 760 million tons of grain every year, or half the world's grain supply. Consumes one-third fossil fuels of those used for meat production. Reduces pollution from untreated animal waste. Maintains cleaner air. Saves 4.5 tons of emissions per U.S. household per year. Stop 80% of global warming. Plus more. Save your life. Be veg. Go green.
Most of us are so great inside, but we do not care to recognize it. That is all. Therefore, there is a difference between the so-called saint and the ordinary, also saint. We call some people saints when they are aware of their inner inheritance from heaven, and they can make use of this power for their benefit, or for the benefit of the immediate entourage, and for the benefit of their country and the whole world. such a saint not necessarily go out and preaching to the public. He may just sit somewhere and people will go and find him, although a little bit limited in number. And the saint's teaching is not necessary to use language. Language is very secondary in nature in conveying the message of heaven. There is one way, the highest way, from inside, and using the wisdom, using the heavenly language to convey, and that doesn't need the master present nor master speech. But in our world, if we do not use language, sometimes people cannot understand, cannot clear the doubt in their intellectual understanding or in their mind. Therefore, language is a second choice in some cases. But when it comes to actual transmission or recognizing the self, the master doesn't need to speak. Both have to be silent, the master and the so-called master and the so-called disciples. Both of them speak in silence. And that is the highest form of speech. It's only when any master go out in the public that people expect him to speak. Then the master has to do so. But while speaking, there is other thing underground, in silence, is also given to the ready audience, the disciples. Therefore, some people will see some wonders while listening to the lecture, or seeing the master radiating light, or seeing the whole lecture hall filled with light, and all the people kind of engulfed in the light. In this material world, we often ask for material miracles. Therefore, perhaps sometimes the master has to resort to miracles in order to attract people to come and then give them something immaterial. But that's a very rare case. Because, for example, there's a master who always works miracles, and people don't talk about his greatness or his enlightenment, just talk about miracles all the time. I said, you know, such and such, oh, he can do this, he can materialize that, and all you hear about is ring and necklace and all kind of things, and you hear nothing from heaven. That can have a side effect on the people who are material-minded, too materialistic-minded. Therefore, most of the masters avoid to use miracles or use it in silence and underground. And only the one who receives it knows it. And mostly the people around him or her doesn't know. Even the very close disciples or the close to the beneficiary doesn't know, except when they are together. For example, in an accident or something like that, then they would know. Mm-hmm.
Supreme Master Ching Hai's lectures are not a complete meditation instruction. Please do not try alone. For free of charge guidance, please visit www.godsdirectcontact.org or contact any of our centers near you.
Thank you for your company on today's episode of Words of Wisdom. Please tune in tomorrow for part two of this fascinating lecture entitled Seek You First, the Kingdom of God. And now, stay tuned to Supreme Master Television for music and poetry. Coming up next, right after Noteworthy News. May your life be filled with heaven's love and light.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/WOW